Last Word on Today FM.
So we have Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea with us for The Last Word on TV and streaming. The best of 2025, much of which you'll be able to catch up with over the Christmas period if you have missed. We've taken five selections from each. There's some great choices here, but there are some remarkable omissions, which I'm going to be bringing up as my picks as well. Elaine, though, I'm going to start with one tremendous series that dominated a lot of discourse this year. I think if anyone's missed it, it is worth watching over Christmas, although it is not an easy watch. You've picked Adolescence on Netflix.
Yeah, and I was kind of keeping track of what was standing out for me throughout the year, and pretty much as soon as I finished the four episodes of Adolescence, I was like, this is the one to beat, essentially. And it kind of came maybe midway through the year, but it was absolutely, like, took the audience attention by storm, took the media attention by storm. And it was the topic, this this kid being accused, this very, very young kid being accused of killing a schoolmate, and the kind of the real time unfolding of that from the time of his arrest, and then cops going into his school and talking to kids and stuff like that. And then there's the technical feat of it all, where it was this entire one shot technique that was used throughout each episode, and not like the fake one shot where you cut away and you can blend things together. Like, this was really filmed in one take each go. And not only was that a tremendous feat of filmmaking, but the acting as well is incredible. Everyone in this show really delivers. And when you know the kind of pressure that they're under to deliver, knowing that if you have to take another take, everything has to go back to the very start, it's even more remarkable considering. And it's no surprise that it's sweeping up at awards ceremonies and things like that. And it's just been an absolutely incredible feat for television.
Let's hear a little bit. We have to give a strong language warning on this. We could have tried to cut out some of the language, but we think it would take away from the power of the scene involving the young boy, Owen Cooper, who plays the lad who's under investigation, and also the child psychologist, Erin Doherty.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course you can.
Can you get me out of this place?
I'm afraid I'm of no use to you there.
Well, why couldn't they put me in a proper prison?
A better facility wasn't available.
Well, putting me in a madhouse?
It's a secure training centre.
Training? Well, what are they training us for? The other boys just scream all the time.
This has been explained.
And they rock backwards and forwards, and they shout what Coronation Street. All the way from Curry.
15 up.
Wonky goes nuts every time he sees Steve McDonald. He's mad in here. You don't understand.
What's the best place for you to be?
Ryan gets to stay at home until his trial.
Ryan isn't accused of such a serious crime.
Accused. It's all accused. If I did it, if I hurt her, then I get it, but I didn't, so...
I understand it, Jamie, and this wasn't my decision. This
am I getting
the best
for the
place
trial?
For you to be. Nothing has been decided yet.
You know where it's going
to
be? London or somewhere local.
You need to sit down, Jamie. If you don't sit down...
Does that mean you don't know what you just want to tell me?
Nothing's been decided yet. You need to sit down.
I don't want to sit down.
If you don't sit down, I have to stop this discussion.
Maybe I want you to.
Do you?
It'd piss you off, that, wouldn't it? You'd have to go home and then come back again.
Jamie, if you do not sit...
Look, I fucking want to sit down! You do not tell me when to sit down! You do not control what I fucking... Look at me now! You do not control what I do in my life! Get that in that fucking little head of yours!
Extraordinarily stuff. It is just such a powerful show.
And that episode in particular, I think, is the one that really sticks with you after you've seen it all. And Owen Cooper had never acted before, and that performance is unbelievable. And he's doing it up against Erin Doherty, who's very, very experienced, and she is incredible playing that psychologist in that very, very tense interview.
Okay. Joe, I know you're not giving the choices in particular in order of 1 to 5, so I'm just going to take them as I have them in front of me. You've got one on Apple TV, Chief of War.
Yeah, my show of 2024 was Shogun, and it wasn't just me. It won 18 Emmys, right? A record, a historical drama, fantastic, brilliant. I thought we wouldn't see anything like it on TV again for a long, long time. And then Chief of War comes along, which is not the same and maybe not as great and certainly hasn't won as many awards. But Chief of War does something really extraordinary as well. And it's Jason Momoa, his passion project with his own Hawaiian Polynesian heritage, is kind of was driving force behind this and managed to get this made. It's an extraordinary historical drama about, based on real events, about the time that the rest of the world was starting to discover the Hawaiian Islands. There was war between the islands in Hawaii, and Jason Momoa plays this historic chief, Kaiana, who tries, who emerges as this kind of a unifying force, but goes through this incredible journey. Chief of War looks incredible. It's some of the scenery is almost dreamlike. There's a climactic battle scene at the end that goes on for half an hour, a battle fought in the middle of an active volcano, which is just mind-blowing. But it's the quiet moments in it as well. It's not just lots of men grunting and hitting each other. There's some extraordinary performances in it. A lot of the dialogue is in the native Hawaiian language, which is a bold choice. It's just brilliant. And you don't be put off by, you know, the war in the title or anything like that. It's Chief of War on Apple. It's just a great watch, and I'd very much recommend it over Christmas.
Okay, now the next one that you have, Elaine, is based on one of my favourite novels of recent years, Louise Kennedy's book Trespasses, an adaptation involving Gillian Anderson. Channel 4, I think, did this.
Yep.
And I'm hearing mixed things about it, but you love it.
Yeah, I did love it, and I loved the book as well. It played out over 4 nights on Channel 4, so it was kind of quick, one to miss, really, but it's available on demand if you do want to catch up with it, and I think it's really well worth it. The book is better, you know, you're always going to have that challenge.
The book is magnificent.
The book is just a tremendous, like, if you're going to sit down with anything over Christmas, I actually say sit down with that book. But if you'd rather the televisual experience instead, this is a really good adaptation. I thought it really captured an era. Like, I really felt kind of immersed in the 1970s with it, and not just with the news and the troubles of it all, because it is set in Belfast in the 1970s, but like the attention to detail and the fashion, the look of it, everything about it. The music is obviously great in it because it's set in that era as well. I think Lola Pettigrew did a great job as the lead. Gillian Anderson, though, steals every scene that she's in. She was an inspired casting as the drunken mother. Tom Cullen was not the right casting for Michael Agnew at all, but I think they did make it work. So for people who are fans of the book, he won't seem right for the role, but it did work.
Okay, well, let's just hear him in a scene with Lola Pettigrew in a scene from Trespasses, and again, a language warning.
I come from a long line of Catholics that have survived by keeping their heads down and their mouths shut. Having a big opinion like yours, it's a luxury I don't have.
No, that's not true. It's not.
What, so I should just say what I want? Be with who I want, even if it means that I lose my job or I put Eamon in danger or people throw dog shit at my mummy's washing line?
Yes, absolutely. Even if people call you selfish or stupid or a Judas bastard. We must find the bravery to choose freedom over fear.
Just taking up with you as a political act of defiance. No, it's rich. I get to be brave, and you get your bit in the side.
Look, if you don't agree with me because I'm married, or I'm old, or I'm also a kisser. And if that's one thing, that I accept. But we cannot let the old bigots and the boys with guns tell us how to live. We just can't.
That's Trespasses, based on the fantastic novel by Louise Kennedy. The next one you have, Joe, on your list is on Sky Atlantic, or Now, Task, with Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, when I heard about this first, you know, there was a lot of crime drama in 2025 and of varying quality. And when I heard about Task, I thought, this sounds a bit familiar. A jaded kind of cop who's been through some tough times is given one last big case and he has to break it. And you're kind of thinking, oh God, we've been here before. You know, he's a secret drinker. His family have broken up. You know, all of this kind of stuff. But that is not what Task is. Task is extraordinary crime drama, mainly because it's not really focused on the crime. It's a real meditation on guilt, on loss, on sin, on redemption, and on the absolute carnage that drug addiction and drug gangs are causing in the US at the moment. Mark Ruffalo is brilliant in it. He's not a cliche at all. He's an FBI guy who's kind of like brought out of retirement, so to speak, to lead a task force that looking into crime, a drug gang or a gang that goes around robbing drug dealers. And Task is it's gripping, it's fast-paced in some parts, and there's a lot of twists and turns I could expect in a crime drama. But what really makes it the central performances of Mark Ruffalo is just extraordinary in it.
Your next one, Elaine, surprised me. Last one, Laughing UK.
When I had to think about what was my top five things of the year, I realised, like, I've been recommending people watch this since I watched it earlier this year, so I can't exclude it from my list. And I think a lot of Irish viewers may have skipped over it because Last One Laughing Ireland wasn't a resounding success. It got royally panned in critics' reviews, and people, I think, actually turned it into a bit of a punching bag. But the UK version seemed to learn. It was one of the last adaptations of this format to come out. It's been adapted in so many different countries now. And I think they learned a lot from maybe what wasn't working in other versions. And the little tweaks that they made really, really made it work. So it's the concept is that you trap this cast of comedians into a room together and they have to try and make each other laugh. But if they laugh, if one of them laughs, they're excluded from the competition. It's a really simple concept. So you get loads of people trying to do funny things, essentially. And then the cast of people that they had in the UK version are the kind of people who make me laugh on a regular basis. Like Richard Ayoade, Bob Mortimer. Bob Mortimer can do absolutely anything on screen and I'm going to enjoy it. I do know that much. And he's returning for the second season of Last One Laughing. So they knew they struck gold putting him in there. Then they have real wildcards like Judy Love, who's just a personality. She's not even a comedian really, but she's just this personality that makes me laugh. And the tricks and the scams that they put in place to make people laugh was like putting Danny Dyer into the room and watching Richard Ayoade become starstruck about Danny Dyer. It was just, even that moment was just funny in and of itself. I really enjoyed it. If you want to laugh, genuinely, it will make you laugh.
Okay. The next one you have, Joe, is on Netflix. I finished watching it last night and the eighth episode is called The Last Word. It's called The Beast in Me, and it has, in Matthew Rhys, I think possibly the performance of the year. He is utterly brilliant in this.
He's extraordinary, and Claire Danes is extraordinary as well. But Matthew Rhys as this, like, it's a fairly simple story. And if you love true crime podcasts, and if you're looking for something, you know, kind of an antidote to all the ho, ho, ho and the festive cheer, The Beast in Me is certainly, it's as dark as midnight, but it's absolutely brilliant. Very simple. Matthew Rhys plays this New York property developer with a kind of a dark secret. Everybody suspects he killed his wife. He moves in next door in this kind of idyllic countryside, a suburb outside of New York, Claire Danes. She's a famous writer who's stuck trying to write her new novel. The two of them are kind of thrown together and drawn together and go on this incredible dance where they absolutely bring the worst out of each other. There's murder, there's kidnapping, there's betrayal, there's heart-stopping moments. I think a lot of people, this has only recently been on Netflix, and I think it's passed a lot of people by. But The Beast in Me, if you're looking for a binge watch and really dark, brilliant crime, or, you know, thriller watching over Christmas and New Year, it has to be on your list.
I loved it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Your next one is Leonard and Hungry Paul, Elaine.
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of the lists that have come out already, and I know that a lot of the strong TV this year was dark, crime, political, all those kind of tones, like The Beast in Me, like Task, which I also thought was absolutely excellent. So I thought, just as a palate cleanser, to suggest something alternative to that, Leonard and Hungry Paul was on BBC Two up until quite recently, and I found myself, because it came out once a week, which is kind of rare these days, with one-off seasons as well, I was waiting for the next episode to drop because I found this show to be the most refreshing breath of fresh air.
This is based on Ronan Hessian's book, isn't it?
It is, yes. And it's narrated by Julia Roberts, which actually does add this like level of class to it that's really pleasant. And then the lead actors, Alex Lawther and Laurie Kynaston, playing Leonard and Hungry Paul, who are basically these two quirky oddballs really just finding their way in the world. And to be honest, like, nothing much really happens. There's a bit of a love story that unfolds. And then there's this other funny side story being spokesperson for a mime organization. But it's just really utterly charming. And it's a lot of it was filmed in and around Dublin, and it shows Dublin in its most beautiful light I've ever seen. It looks spectacular in it. You'd really want to be in the places that they've been filming in. They caught every day in sunlight. And it was just like a warm hug of a show. So if you need something that's a bit away from all of the dark, tumultuous stuff that's out there, this is a breath of fresh air.
Okay, your next one, Joe, is one that I started and didn't get into. I wonder, should I go back and try an Apple TV again? Pluribus, particularly because I loved Rhea Seehorn in Better Call Saul.
Yeah, and this is Vince Gilligan's new drama, The Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul guy, right? And it's, yeah, I can get why people are confused by it, because this is strange TV, right? It's a fairly simple sci-fi kind of basis. Rhea Seehorn plays Carol. She's a successful author who is going along with her life, and all of a sudden this event happens where a sort of a mysterious kind of interplanetary communication turns 99.999% of the world's population into a sort of a hive of happy, delighted people who work like ants together in this very strange way. She's one of the handful of people in the world who haven't been affected by whatever has turned them into this kind of like hive. And she's trying to save the world, except that she hates people, she hates the world, and she's a real, she's a kind of a dark character. It's unusual. It moves at a strange pace. There's entire episodes where not much happens, and suddenly there's these big reveals. We're only going to get the last couple of episodes over the holiday period, so I have no idea how it's going to turn out. One thing though, that they've only just announced there's going to be a season two, so I'm expecting it's not going to be neatly wrapped up. But Pluribus, if you want adventurous kind of mind-bending sci-fi and TV, Pluribus is definitely worth your time.
Okay, let's hear a clip from it. Rhea Seehorn and Carolina Wydra.
What do you think the temperature is? About 80?
It's currently 27.778 degrees Celsius, or 82 degrees Fahrenheit. The winds are 3 kilometers per hour from...
From where?
From southeast.
Any chance of precipitation? Zosha, you with me? I need you to answer some more questions, okay? How do I reverse all this? How do I reverse the joining?
No.
Zosha, how do I end this thing? You already told me it's possible.
No.
Yes? Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
You did. You pretty much did. So the hard part's over. Right? Now, all you have to do is tell me how to put things back the way they used to be. Come on. Come on, Zosha. Is it making you sad not giving me what I want? Is this making you sad? Don't be sad. Tell me what I want to know.
Okay, that is Pluribus. Your last choice, Colleeni Grana.
This was a little surprise that came out on TG Cahir of a 15-minute short that was essentially an adaptation of Mean Girls, Ask Ailge. And I have been quoting it ever since I saw it. I am screaming, ni hain si an siu fiú to anyone who is annoying me and coming across my path in a bad way. It was produced by this team called Mumbro Top, and I just love that this got an airing on a broadcaster, on TG Cahir. It's been available on YouTube for a while. They've actually like screened it in film festivals and things like that. But it's just really nice to see this kind of young, innovative, and very much tapping into a certain cultural moment team get that kind of placing in the broadcaster. And I'd like to see more for them.
You can find it on YouTube.
You can absolutely find it on YouTube. Yeah.
Your last choice, Joe, is one that screened recently on RTE, 2-part documentary series on DJ Carey the Dodger.
Yeah, and it's on the iPlayer if you want to watch it and catch up with it. And you really, really absolutely should, because this is brilliant, riveting, expertly done 2-part documentary on actually probably the story of the year in many ways in Ireland, the jaw-dropping fall from grace of a hurling superstar, an Irish sporting superstar, one of the greatest ever to play the game. And actually, it's a story as well. I mean, there's a lot in it, obviously, but I think it's a story about journalism as well, and maybe the old school values of journalism, of a journalist, Emer and Eve Raynon, who kept after this story. And what a difficult story to do. What a hard story to tackle, especially in this country with the way the defamation laws are. And against, you know, this kind of almost sporting god in many ways, one of the greatest hurlers of all time. The strange thing is, the one drawback from the show, it never really gets very close to who he is and what his motivation was and why he got involved in this extraordinary fraud, which he admitted to 10 counts and was sentenced to 5.5 years in jail. But DJ Carey the Dodger is an incredible portrait of a strange and a brilliant, a huge story and a huge case.
I'm going to give you five shows of my own you can give thumbs up or thumbs down to, and I'm surprised some of them didn't make your list. Slow Horses on Apple,
yes.
Season 5.
It was the most fun season so far, definitely.
And if you haven't seen the first four, go back on them. I don't think you're such a big fan, Joe.
I'm not a huge fan because I find it slightly repetitive, but it was a very strong season, I have to give it that. And actually, to make a season 5 as good as a season 1 is tough these days.
Gary Oldman, terrific in it, and lots of other brilliant actors in it. Department Q with Matthew Good.
I didn't check that one out, but I heard good things.
That's terrific. Have you seen that, Joe?
On my list for Christmas.
It came out when there was a slew of things happening. That's what happened there.
Set in Scotland, cold case investigation, very funny at times, also very dark at times. Great story. Really recommend that. This is one of the more frivolous ones. This was something you'd nearly expect Nicole Kidman to have been in. She wasn't, and it was probably better for it. Sirens with Millie Alcock and Megan Fahey.
I couldn't get through Sirens. I watched like 2 episodes and I just hated it.
I thought it was great fun. What did you think, Joe? Did you see it?
Completely passed me by. I heard of it, but I completely missed it.
Okay, season 3 of The Diplomat was terrific.
I knew The Diplomat would be on your list. Absolutely. Yeah.
Kerry Russell and Rufus Sewell are just brilliant in it, and this was the sharpest series yet of it.
I have a lot of catching up to do when it comes to The Diplomat, if I'm being totally honest, and I love Rufus Sewell as well, and I know he's great in it. Yeah, I need to get on that.
And then the one with loads of bad acting but yet was still compelling viewing, Mobland.
Did you actually put that on your list? That's amazing. Oh my God. I couldn't.
It's so bad, it's good.
I couldn't with those accents. I couldn't even watch the trailer without my skin crawling. It was so hard.
It's Tom Hardy has a real screen presence about him as a gangster.
Tom Hardy loves having a dodgy voice though in something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Javier Bardem.
Thank God at least he didn't have an Irish accent.
Javier Bardem has bad hair, it's gonna be a good time. If Tom Hardy has a funny voice, it's gonna be a good time. So I suppose I should give it another go.
Did you watch any of it, Joe?
No, I watched a small bit of it, but there was so much scenery chewing going on.
That's my guilty pleasure. I enjoyed it enormously. Okay, thank you very much, Joe O'Shea, Elaine Burke.
The Last Word on Today FM.